welcome to the Minnesota Beercast. This is Schmitty hanging out at the Minnesota State Fair with the folks from Surly and Joy Estelle from Eater, right?
Yeah.
And Glenn Perkins, formerly of Minnesota Twins.
That's correct.
So I'm hanging out without Drew. I think he's probably on a plane at this point as we record this. So sorry, Drew. And enjoy your flight. It's tough work to do this all by myself, but I think I'll somehow manage to hang out and drink beer and talk about food here at the Minnesota State Fair. It's a rough gig, but someone's, you know, gonna have to do it. As usually, I'll be the Atlas of the show, keeping the world on my shoulders. So let's get right into it. Before we do start, I did want to throw a plug out for the trip to Oktoberfest. It's coming to a close here. We're taking reservations, I think, probably one last week. So that's going to be the end of September here. If you are interested, pull the trigger now. Go to beercasttrip.com and get your spots. Time is going to run out for that. But let's get on to the show. Let's go around the circle and do some introductions. Let's start with you, Joy.
I'm Joy Estelle Summers of Eater Twin Cities. I've been writing about food locally for 10 years, and I ate all the new foods today.
I cannot wait to hear about that.
I'm Bill Manley. I'm the Vice President of Marketing for Surly Brewing Company. I'm in charge of branding and naming all of the beers here at the State Fair and most of the beers that Surly makes. Pretty exciting to be here. Second year in a row. Good times.
Ben Smith, head brewer at Surly Brewing.
Glenn Perkins, former pitcher for the Minnesota Twins, and currently doing whatever the hell I want.
As we all are, right? So let's, Minnesota State Fair is, I guess it started out as an agricultural celebration, but it's kind of taken on a life of its own for food, and really is kind of moving into that beer segment as well. I think most people locally know it for the food scene, so maybe let's start there, Joy. What is your overall impression of the new foods at the fair this year?
It's always fun to do the new foods. We start out with the official new foods list, and then it kind of expands into all these random things. We have things, they sound ridiculous, then we turn into things that you actually want to eat. So we had, like, injectable mini donuts. We decided that maybe adding injections to food was not the way we wanted to go this year.
I want to hear more about this, because
controversy?
I actually shared this on Facebook, and I was like, oh no, someone had a syringe with, you know, frosting. And I was a bit like,
God bless America.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I get that it's, you know, maybe a bit wasteful, but isn't the entire fair experience a bit about gluttony and waste to some degree? Or am I way off base? What do you think?
Here's the thing. I don't think it sounded delicious.
No, but a lot of it doesn't sound delicious.
That's true. And I'm going to tell you, I had a lot of not delicious stuff today. But it was just a little, I think maybe it was part of the way that, the problem is that they start out with these ideas and then they take a picture and it's kind of an idea of what it might be. They had these massive, huge, ridiculous syringes and these itty bitty little tiny donuts. And you're going to serve 3 syringes with each mini donut. A, I don't want to work that hard. Like, this is the fair. Like, let's be lazy. And also, it was super wasteful. It was silly. It was silly. And that's kind of the fair, too. So, I don't know. I don't feel bad that I didn't get to eat that today. I don't feel bad that they decided not to do it either.
No, and that was kind of my thoughts on it. We're like, yeah, it's dumb. It is wasteful. It's probably kind of a hacky gimmick, but the idea of boycotting the hacky, dumb, gimmicky idea was, you know, why not just let it die its own hacky, dumb, wasteful, gimmicky death on its own, right?
That's, yeah, and there's a lot of that. I'm going to go in the other hacky, dumb tradition is there's a ton of Fruity Pebbles as garnish this year, and I could do without that. And I mean, I've gotten down on some Fruity Pebbles and some Saturday morning cartoons. But it just seems like a silly garnish. So that was one thing that it, of the things I added where the Fruity Pebbles showed up, like that and that, I didn't think
about. Maybe we'll get to some of the beers here in a bit. And it seemed like there was a lot of fruit additions to the beers at the fair this year. What was the worst, the biggest clunker of the fair foods that you did have?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, I think the grossest was maybe the Nordic waffles with the Reese's peanut butter cups and the Fruity Pebbles was just...
That'd be a little too much.
Silly. It was just, yeah, we could have used some editing. That was not...
What makes a waffle Nordic?
Well, they have a Viking logo.
Oh, that sounds like pandering.
Yeah, I feel like maybe it was like made with Nordic wear. Like, that as a reporter, I did not ask that question. Somebody's going to come in and explain that.
Do you know how the process is for some of these vendors when it comes to creating these things? Is it like focus group? Is it just some guy in his basement after several whiskeys is like, I got an idea?
No, here's the thing. Every restaurant, every food vendor, everybody thinks that they have this great money-making idea for the fair. Everybody thinks that they're going to be the next Sweet Martha's, and no one is. It is really hard to get a food in. I know a ton of amazing restaurants who had really good ideas of things I'd want to eat. And it's the fair kind of purposely keeps it a mystery on how you get in. There's one guy, and it's that person's judgment call, really, on what they think will sell, what will capture the zeitgeist. There is a little controversy this year that it seems like they're kind of starting to get rid of some of the older vendors and bring in these new vendors. And they're not all working. The feedback I've heard today is that there's a new burger vendor that's just doing, like, build your own hamburgers that nobody's really liking. It's cafeteria burgers. They're not delicious. Like, why would you get rid of the old school guys and
mess with what works?
Right?
Yeah. And it kind of follows the dining trend in the Twin Cities that we've seen, the cafeteria BYO burger, you know, where instead of getting any sort of service that you would get when you go out to eat, now it's, you know, everybody sits at a big community table and you go up to the window and grab your food when it's done, and it cutting out any of the service staff that's, you know, I guess not so much required anymore to run a restaurant.
Like pizza in that regard, I think. I mean, like, I think that, like, great pizza and great burgers can use from a ton of editing, you know what I mean? Like that.
Yes.
The impulse is throwing as much stuff at it as you could possibly get. It's like, ooh, I love sausage and I love pepperoni and pineapple and basil and X, Y, and Z. And, you know, you throw all that stuff at it, but you're like, at the end of the day, like, if you have the right flavors and the right balance and the right, you know, the right components there, and you get it through, and it's got this great flavor, and it shines through and really speaks for itself. It's way better than just, like, kind of throwing the kitchen sink at it and hoping that it works.
That's not the same fair way,
but it's not the same fair way, but, you know.
You're going to have a hacky.
There's something to it.
So, honestly, and this isn't just a plug for the beer that we make, but, like, that's kind of, like, what we've done the last 2 years, because you hear about the state fair beers that do mini donut and funnel cake and
cotton candy
and dill pickle, and it's like they're all good to an extent, but like
I appreciate, like, that you're being nice.
It's like make they can be interesting. Like, you want to try them. Like, I've wanted to try them every year as a beer snob guy, not even as a brewer or somebody that works for a brewery, but like there's something to making just like try to make a really good beer for the state fair.
Yeah.
So then when you have a ton of fat over here, and you got a ton of sugar over here, and then you go have like a dry, like hoppy IPA, where you're like, there's all this wild stuff going on.
Yeah.
Well, and I can come back and have
And that's Moorish.
I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, this guy, Charlie Bamforth, who's the head of used to be the head of the brewing department at UC Davis in California, and Ben and I both had experience in the UC Davis system, is his big thing was that, like, yeah, you want a beer at the end of the day to be Moorish, in the fact that as soon as you finish a sip, you want to go back for more.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, you want another one. And when you finish that beer, you want another one after that, you know? And, like, as commercial brewers, professional brewers, I mean, that's the thing, ultimately, that we we want. We want a beer to be Moorish. We want to have one. We want to have another. We want to have another. We don't want to be completely wrecked from an alcohol perspective. We don't want to be completely broke from a financial perspective. We don't want our palates completely blown out either.
Well,
it's got to be Moorish.
That's an interesting line to walk, and we're coming up on our first break here, and I want to come back and talk a little about how you walk the line as a brewery in between, you know, that self-respecting beer that you want to brew versus making it attractive to the drinker here at the Minnesota State Fair who wants to try some of that gimmicky beer. So we're going to come back after this from the Minnesota State Fair, Minnesota Beer Cast, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Understand my intention.
We are back at the Minnesota State Fair. This is Schmitty. I am here solo without Drew. We are joined by Joy Estelle Summer from Peter. We've got Bill and Ben from Surly. We've got Glenn from whatever the hell it is he wants to do. Thanks,
intern.
Surly intern.
Surly new intern. Surly. Yeah.
Ben's hiring. I'm accepting. Surly intern.
So when we
on my Twitter bio.
Yeah, for sure.
Right now.
When the unpaid.
Right now,
so all the best interns are unpaid, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That's for sure.
That's how you know they're hungry, that they want it.
They need to want it. Glenn needs to want it.
So when we left off the last segment, we kind of teased, how you make that decision with the beer you bring to the Minnesota State Fair. We talked about the gimmicky, I'm not afraid to say gimmicky when it comes to some of these beers because...
Well, some of them are definitely gimmicky. I mean, from our standpoint, Surly's got a strong brand. We have a lot of integrity. And we want to support our customers at the fair and our vendors and, consumers that are out here drinking. But we're not going to bend or break the integrity of our brand. Like, we're gonna stick and make really good beer. But we're also going to make beer that's perfect for the fair, that's drinkable, that's something that anybody's going to want. Over the course of the day, whether it's the IPA we made with Glenn, we've got a wine spritzer that we made, we've got a lot of great beers, but at the end of the day, it's got to hold up to those brand standards that we hold dear to us as Surly.
What are the brand standards? And maybe, Bill, that's a question for you.
Yeah, I think there's a fine line between like an homage to a flavor profile and a gimmick, you know what I mean? And I mean, I think if you're making a beer that tastes like something else for the sake of tasting like something else, and loses the fact that at the end of the day, it's supposed to be beer, and you're supposed to want another. That's when it kind of jumps the shark, so to speak, between just like, a gimmick and an homage. You know, it's like making a beer that kind of is reminiscent of a white wine spritzer, let's say, versus making like a beer that is, a funnel cake beer or whatever it happens to be. And you know off the bat that it's like...
Are you building brand awareness or doing your brand any favors if your brand is, making a funnel cake beer or a dill pickle beer? I mean...
We're not bashing it.
No, just an honest criticism. Just being real.
I mean, at the end of the day, we got to go back to what we do. We make beer. It's like the Venn diagram of that we're going to have to... find something that works within our framework that also works for what the people at the fair want. There's a bunch of breweries that do maybe more beers that work, but for us, we've got a pretty set standard of what we expect internally and what our consumers expect outside of the brewery that we're going to maintain that. We're not going to cut corners, basically.
I think ultimately, too, if a beer you're making for a fair is a beer that you wouldn't put in a package at the end of the day, and are you really doing your brand any favors?
That's kind of the point that I was getting at. You probably said it better than I did.
Yeah, sure. I feel like I sort of stepped on myself that last time around.
So that's like from these two guys coming from the beer industry and working in the beer industry to a guy that just moonlights as an
intern.
There has to be some, it's like running any business where you're going to do this. It has to give you some equity in the company. There has to be a reason that you're doing it other than just
what's the point otherwise, right?
Right. And so if you're making a beer, you might just make a beer that's a good beer that people like. Say for it, you might make some weird, super crazy beer that then that everybody's going to talk about, oh, this brewery made this weird beer. I want to try their other beers. Like, that's successful marketing.
It's not bad there.
And so there's a line, though, where like, sometimes you just make good beer that people want to drink. And you don't have to make a crazy beer for the state fair.
And maybe there is the other side of that coin, right? Maybe if you do execute the hell out of a funnel cake beer, it is going to bring people into the brewery, right?
I mean, there's great examples of that, too. I mean, like the beer that we did for Lulu's last year, the Juicy Lulu Lucy, I mean, like, was a really great experiment for us before we launched One Man Mosh Pit, our year-round hazy IPA. That was a great prototype, and frankly, that beer was pretty darn close to the beer that we came to market with. Like, Shell's Sangria is another great example here, also here at Lulu's. I mean, that was one of those beers that they debuted here, and that's a beer in commercial production for them.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I mean, it's right along the lines with, I mean, some of the other beers that they've done in the past. They're like, they do it right. They do it right. They do it with integrity. They do it knowing that it could be a brand that does something for them in the future. I mean, like, that's a big thing for us when we're kind of kicking around ideas. I don't want, for Surly in general, I feel like I've been pretty vocal about it in the past with book sales folks and brewing folks. And it's like, I don't want to make a beer that's just a throwaway beer. We're not going to do that anymore. Right? What's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point unless it has potential, either from like a brand perspective or a flavor profile perspective? It should teach us something one way or the other. Every beer we make should make us better in some way or the other.
It should be reproducible, have a quality standard, and all that 100%. Stuff.
So you guys are officially saying that Glenn's beer was not a throwaway beer, is that
Glenn's
right?
Glenn's beer is the throwaway beer.
It's a pretty solid ass beer.
We'll bring it back.
I do a lot of this than I can, to be honest.
We've talked about it. Let's talk about the beer.
Glenn's an actual brewer, which helps from my end. This isn't just a marketing gimmick. We're not just brewing with some guy because his name's Glenn Perkins. He's an all-star.
I just like a Marine.
What's used to be,
yeah, right?
Glenn can speak to this, but he came to us with some ideas and some recipes, and we worked with those, and he shows up and puts the work in. Like, it's fun to brew with him. He's a good dude. Like,
I think the biggest thing is, like, so you work with the brewery as big as Surly. And you're like, all right, I have this homebrew recipe where I'm like, I'm sitting there, and I know beer, but I'm like, all right, this beer's good.
Right.
And then I'm like, you know, he'll text me and be like, hey, do you have something that we can do this year for summer for the fair? Like, yeah, I do have something. I brewed it 3 or 4 times. Like, we find it. Like, I think it's a good beer. And it ends up very close. Like, there's transitions it takes in scaling it up with just the ingredients that there are, the hops that they have on hand. But, like, at the core of it is the beer that I brewed at my house. And this is the biggest brewery in Minnesota, one of the biggest breweries in Minnesota, saying, like, we'll brew your beer.
So this isn't like a Northern Brewer kit that you just passed off as one of your own.
The two beers that I brewed with them last year for the fair, this year for the fair, are both recipes that I wrote myself.
We had to scale it up.
We had to do some modifications.
He's a genius in.
What's the process when it comes to scaling up a homebrew? I think that's a big question for a lot of homebrewers, you know, when it comes to making that jump from, you know, everybody has garage dreams to, you know, maybe production nightmares when it comes to making that jump, right?
That's a great question. It's not an easy question to answer because everyone's systems are different, but, you know, it's really, we brewed this at Brooklyn Center, so we've got a 30-barrel house, Brickman brew house. And I've learned a lot over the past few years about how things kind of work from small batch stuff, we're saying like 1-barrel system, to our BC 30-barrel system, and then up to our 100-barrel system at Minneapolis Brewery. And it's not apples to apples. You can't just times it by the difference in size. So it's a lot of trial and error. But it's pretty cool. It's a lot of fun. Like, again, some things are going to work, some aren't. We had a lot of luck, I think, with lines of beers over the last 2 years. We also had to, you know, adjust some hops the way we're hopping. When they add hops, it's a lot different for like carboy versus fermenter, obviously. But,
yeah.
The fact that we had a lot of vision and idea of what we wanted the beer to be at the beginning makes it easier to figure out what you need to do to make that concept come to life at the end.
The first thing that made me realize that it was going to be my beer and not Surly's beer that had my name on it was the first time I met with Ben, so I didn't even know Ben. And Stu's not here, but Stu said, hey, you need to come. You need to make a beer. You have to meet Ben.
You need to do this.
And we talked, and I talked to Ben, and so we set up a date to meet, and we meet at the brewery in Minneapolis. And so we're sitting there having lunch, and he talks to me, and he's like, what do you have in mind? And I gave him the malt bill and the hops, and he immediately was like, that's going to be a good beer. And I was like how you can just take what's in it and know what it's going to turn out. I'm like obviously, like, because like everybody's like says, like, you know, wherever you talk, like, sir, they're not putting out a bad beer.
Right.
I'm surprised, to be honest. You actually had a good recipe.
I didn't expect it. I like when he just gives you the business.
He actually,
Minnesota voucher.
He actually knows what he's doing. They're not going to put out a bad beer.
Yeah.
And so when he said, at that moment, he was like, could picture what that beer looked like sitting in a glass. I was like, this is going to be good.
Well, let's take a break and come back and talk about the actual beer as opposed to the process. You're listening to the Minnesota Beercast on AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. All right, we are back for segment 3 of Minnesota Beercast. We're hanging out with Joy Estelle Summers from Eater. We've got Bill and Ben from Surly, and we've got Glenn Perkins, Surly's newest intern. We've jumped around the beer a little bit. We've talked about the process. We've talked about the marketing. Let's talk about the actual beer. Why don't you guys walk us through the four-seam screamer? Kind of give us the flavor, the characteristics. Give us the A to Z, the soup to nuts.
So the basis of it is a homebrew recipe for me that I gave to Ben, and then Ben, who is the magician at Surly,
wizard,
whatever you want to call it, put his hands on it, and
made it all. At heart, it's a West Coast style IPA, malt-wise. With the hops, we made a few changes on Glenn's original recipe to incorporate some of the stuff we've been trying with beers like One Man Mosh Pit, some of the hazy beers. So we did some dry hopping during active fermentation to promote some biotransformation, which is just some more like tropical flavors, some more stronger fruit flavors than we did a second dry hop post-fermentation, just to kind of accentuate all of that. And turned out really nice, like super dry, not a lot there on the front end, a little bit of bitterness, a little bit of malt. Then just really nice tropical fruit notes from the hops. It's really nice beer for an IPA fan. I love it.
And it comes in at, what, 6.9%?
Yep.
That's good and healthy. Way to go. Yeah, so way to go.
It's strong, but not too strong.
It's good for walking around the state fair and
getting
your
little bang for your buck.
Yeah, get your money's worth.
Get a little bang for your buck.
You are definitely going to get your money's worth.
100%. 100%.
And, you know, on top of that, too, like, I have to emphasize the relationship with the Ballpark Cafe, too. So it's been fun working with Glenn, but the Ballpark Cafe kind of started the whole kind of exclusive craft beer movement at the state fair. And, you know, Dan and Dave are great partners, and we've had a lot of fun working with those guys. They've been really supportive of what we want to do, and I'm excited to see what we do in the future.
They've been honestly, like, seriously awesome.
Great partners, for sure.
They're great dudes, but, like, they're great people, big Twins fans. And kind of just like, I mean, like, more or less hands off, and like, just make us a good beer. So we started this last year, and so this is year two of making a beer, when they're just like, hey, make a beer, make us a beer that'll sell.
And if you're going to do a beer anywhere at the State Fair, I mean, Glenn Perkins doing a beer, it should be at tongue-in-cheek, the ballpark, right?
Well, and it should. It's a natural...
Makes sense.
Stylistically, too.
Yeah.
All of it is, like, a natural fit, but then at the same time, like, both recipes that I presented to them, like, we could have done anything. Yeah. And just for me, like... You don't want to drink 20 IPAs when you're at a fair, 10 IPAs when you're at a
speak
fair.
For yourself,
right? But it's a beer for me that you can go have a couple that'll like cut into everything else that you've done to
cuts
yourself.
Fat, cuts the fat, cuts the sugar, cuts the alcohol. You know, some bitterness, some dryness is not a bad
thing.
It's
a great balance to everything else that you're going to do to yourself at the fair, which is what the fair is all about.
That's going to be my question for you, Joy, is maybe a food pairing with this beer. You know, the Ballpark Cafe is renowned for their garlic fries.
Oh, so good.
Oh, mandatory for me. Like, usually, I'm a bit out of sorts because we usually come do the show here on Friday night, and we're doing it here Thursday, late afternoon, and I don't know, I feel really out of sorts because we'll do the show and come and hang out at the ballpark and usually grab a seat kind of on the periphery and order beers and usually smoke a cigar or two until they tell us we have to leave. So it's a little bit weird to be out here with the sun shining and the, you know, there's kids around.
There's families.
Yeah. I can't curse as loud when we're out here drinking beer and having fun. But what do you think about the garlic fries as a pairing with this beer, the Four Seam Screamer?
Well, I mean, the garlic fries are good every day, any day. But I was actually thinking, like, it's from a different part. I love the ballpark. I love being able to hang out there and try all the new beers. And like everybody said, they're amazing people. But I was thinking, I want to put, for the new fair foods, because that's what I've been doing all day.
Yeah.
Go get the new, they're calling it a dilly dog. It is a bratwurst cased in dill pickles that's then battered and deep fried. It is enormous. It's the size of my forearm.
Next time.
But I want to eat that with Glenn's beer. It is fatty, salty, tart. You get this acidity. It is that beautiful dill situation. Plus all the great like spices that go into a classic Wisconsin bratwurst. I want all of that with that beer. Like, that beer is kind of like peak fair, and that bite for today was kind of peak fair for me. It's exactly what you expected to be. I mean, it was on a stick for crying out loud.
And it's a dilly dog, is that right?
It is called the dilly dog. It's in the Coliseum at a place called Spuds and Swine.
Okay.
It's insane.
It's a
bratwurst.
All right.
Wrapped around some hollowed up giant pickles.
It's not a Polish masquerading as a bratwurst. Is it a vice versa?
It is a bratwurst. Exactly. You've got the spices, the allspice, the proper German seasonings.
Okay,
in there.
Good. Because I there's nothing bothers me more than when someone calls something a bratwurst and it's really like a Polish sausage.
Don't even get me started. 100%. Those are completely different sauces.
Exactly. Don't lie to me.
I had a pickle dog earlier. And I was disappointed because it wasn't really a pickled dog at all. It was a pickle and cream cheese wrapped in trundle. It was delicious, don't get me wrong. The dog, it is not.
Yeah.
No.
It's not an encased meat.
Yeah. And it wasn't on a stick, which automatically loses.
I really think after we're done, all of us need to go get
We're
this
going that way. Like, literally, yeah. Glenn and I have been, yeah. We have been like eyeballing each other about this.
It's been like 3 hours in.
Seriously.
We're probably going to go and crush like 3-4 of them.
Yep.
It's going to be good.
What other delicious food and beer pairings have you had thus far? I know we're still on day one. Is this the only day you spend at the fair? Do you do it all in day one?
I do it all. I'm married into a fair family. Like, my mother-in-law is out here somewhere. God bless her. Like, 83 years old. And the first big day of the fair is her deal. So I learned to love the fair through my in-laws. And getting the food, the beer pair, experience. I will say that the little bit of a sweetness from that Freehouse handshake, strawberry handshake, cream ale that the Blue Barn is doing was kind of a nice breakfast beer if you're looking for something to kick off the day.
Yeah.
I would go get that and get their new spuds and beef thing with Bernays sauce. It's ridiculous, but it's good for the beer.
You know, we did a preview of all the new beers and, I guess, beverages at the State Fair. And I was amazed at the number of slushies that are here.
Slushies, sweet things, rosés. We've gone a little heavy on that side.
And that was kind of the point I was going to get at later, and maybe we will after the next segment, but like it feels like there's way too much sweet happening in the beverage department.
I'm ready to dial back that. You know, I lived through Zima. I'm okay. I mean,
bring my own Jolly Rancher to throw in the seltzer.
Oh, my God,
right?
I remember that. I love that. And also, no.
Well, that's what you had to do to make it drinkable, right? I mean, it's watermelon, but isn't watermelon enough?
Like, more. Also, is the headache going to be bad enough tomorrow?
Yeah, right.
Or could we go like night train level headache? Let's amp this up.
It's whatever you're into. We can really take all comers. Hangovers, some of that sugar stuff.
Yeah, I'd like to see. It goes back to what's easy to do. What's maybe a light lift for the people providing beverages here? That's you're not going to mess up, but it's going to bring people into your brand. So let's come back for one more segment here from the Minnesota Beercast at the State Fair. This is Schmitty, sans Drew. We'll be back after this on AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Final segment of the Minnesota Beercast from the Minnesota State Fair. Thanks for joining us, guys. We are having a blast. We've got Glenn Perkins, Surly's latest intern. We've got Ben and Bill from Surly and Joy Estelle Summers from Eater. All hanging out, talking beer, talking food, talking Minnesota State Fair. I wanted to ask a question before we move on to other stuff. Darkness. Back again in the same format as last year. You guys kind of broke new ground format last year.
Yes.
It was amazing.
Somerset, September 27, 28. We're going to be in Somerset, Wisconsin, so we've changed it up a little bit. We've got 20 breweries coming to town. None of them distribute in Wisconsin or Minnesota. And they're all going to set up shop. We have a little mini beer fest on Friday night. Lori Barbero from Bates & Fuller is going to DJ. It's going to be a great time. And then Saturday is going to be all about Darkness, all about Surly. We've got a ton of different casks, a huge lineup, pulling a bunch of stuff out of our cellars. And then amazing bands. We've got I Hate God headlining. It's going to be a really good time. So go online. If you just want to come out and hang out, general admission tickets are super cheap. If you want to buy variant packages, because we are making Darkness variants this year, you can buy that. So it's kind of like whatever you want to spend, whatever you want to do, whatever experience that you want, we're providing. So if you just want to come out and listen to metal, it's literally not expensive at all.
We're also doing some exclusive beers just for Darkness, Darkness Day of the events. We're doing three different canned beers. We're doing a campground beer, which is pretty classic, like German Pilsner, which Ben and I are all about.
Shotgun.
For sure. It's literally called campground beer.
You should call it shotgun.
That's what it's called. We actually talked about it. The TTB is not fond of light alcohol firearms. We're doing another beer.
I thought
called
that was their department, wasn't that?
It used to be the ATF, right? You're 100% right about that. Yeah. And then we're doing a beer called At the End of the Internet, which is a double dry hop, double hazy IPA, which we're really proud of. And then another beer called None More Black, Spinal Tap reference, which seemed appropriate for the weekend, which is an Imperial Kettle Sour. It's about 9% ABV. It's made of black currants and black berries, hence the None More Black side of things, which will only be available at Darkness Day as well, in canned 4-packs in addition to Darkness and Darkness Berry bottles and some vintage bottles.
I'm just a simple fella, but I don't know that I've ever heard of an Imperial What was that again?
Imperial Kettle Sour with blackberries and blackberries.
Is that a thing?
Well, it is if you're a fan of Surly, because we've done a couple of them. We did Inside the Upside Down. It's a collaboration with Jay Wakefield.
Oh, yeah, I tried that. That was amazing.
Wine strength kettle sours, fruited kettle sours.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think you and I had one of those on the show. It was awesome.
Recently as well, which each of them have been really top-notch beers. They're like right up my personal flavor preference alley. But you have solid beers, solid concepts. We're really proud of them. I'm excited to share them with the Darkest Day folks.
Are you able to give us a preview or a tease of the variants, or is that do folks have to wait to have that revealed?
We'll give you a tease right here and now. So we're doing three different variants this year.
Awesome.
Yep. Yeah. Freaking awesome. We tasted them on Friday, most of them. So we're doing a Mole Darkness, which is inspired by, you know, obviously Central American Mole. That one's got chilies, it's got cinnamon, it's aged in rye barrels, right?
The Mole is bourbon.
Bourbon barrels, sorry.
The coolest thing about that is we worked with our pastry staff, so if you've been at Surly and you haven't had our pastry or our dessert menu, you're doing it wrong.
You're missing out for sure.
Joanna, our pastry chef's amazing. So she actually produced a chocolate syrup that we use in the mole. Worked with us pretty strong on that beer. So yeah, mole, chili, cinnamon, chocolate, cayenne, vanilla. That one's going to be intense. I just tasted it. It's by far my favorite.
Or if you bring a camper, you can have it there too.
Yeah. True story. Don't drive home.
Not just intense.
We did do double stuff.
That's the second variant.
Yeah, that's rum barrel aged, but a whole
ton of vanilla beans and cacao.
Dude, why does vanilla taste so good in beer?
Well, here's the thing. I'm trying not to say it because I'm pretty sure you're going to have to edit out, but it's an S beep ton of vanilla beans. That much vanilla tastes good in just about everything. That much vanilla beans and like cacao nibs. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. Everybody likes it. Chocolate and vanilla.
Where it's at.
And then the last one's I'm a big cocktail guy, and old fashioned's kind of my jam. So we decided to do an old fashioned variant. So we added a bunch of Moroccan aged orange peel. It's in a rye barrel, so you get some of that oak and the rye whiskey notes, and obviously more chocolate than an old fashioned. But
that might be the one that gets me most excited. Is the old fashioned variant?
I tasted it out of the tank yesterday. We're starting to get ready to bottle it all, and it's exciting. The best part too is like Darkness is a very distinct beer, right?
And a super versatile beer too.
But if you go to each of the three variants, they taste nothing alike.
Yeah, I mean Mole doesn't taste anything like an old fashioned.
We want to make some pretty cool variants, but also we don't want them to all be the same. Where it's like, well, it's Darkness with a little bit of this or a little bit of that. It's a completely different beer, and that was kind of the point. That's, you know, that's the goal of those variant projects.
Are you a cocktail guy, all, Glenn?
I am.
which one of these gets you the most excited?
I mean, I guess if I was going to have one cocktail, it'd be an old fashioned. You know, what they did, I had all the variants last year from Surly, and they were all amazing.
it's kind of like, you know, picking which child you love the most. It's, you know, it's,
yeah, right? Yeah.
They're all beautiful.
I'm excited just to see what they do. It's just like such a weird, like... It's a weird concept of like, you know what they're doing, but you don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And Darkness has to
come up with something like it, like they get, and they talk about not getting super weird about the fair.
Yeah.
They get weird about Darkness. Yes.
But that's what they're like, also their weirdest, their most unique stuff comes with Surly Darkness.
Maybe we just haven't made the right love connection yet. Maybe you guys should have brought Darkness to the fair.
Oh my God, can you imagine? It'd be like The Walking Dead.
At a certain point. Yeah.
But I mean, like, you know, Darkness kind of is what it is. Its own animal, and kind of lends itself toward both like savory and sweet, depending on how you adjunct it. If you're totally blind.
You know what I mean? And like it's a cool, it's so complex that it's a cool like base to start from, right? You can add, you know, bitters and orange peel and barrels to add some like kind of bitterness and complexity on the kind of savory side, or add like earthy chilies and like kind of hit those like deep notes along with the kind of deep hop notes and the really like dark chocolate flavors that are inherent in darkness as is, and kind of go lots of different directions. It's a great like, I mean, it's like the mother sauce for with to like add little bits to and kind of push it in different directions depending on what your proclivity is. You know, I mean, like it can go very sweet to the pastry side, but never be like super sweet with like lactose added and all the kind of adjuncted periphery stuff, but it can also go deep and dark and moody at the same time.
Well, we've talked about the four scene screen. We've talked about darkness. We've talked about some of the clunkers here at the State Fair. Do you want to give us, I guess, maybe your top three as we close out the show here, Joy? Your best foods or maybe your best beers. Give us your expertise in the food and beer realm as we close out the show. We got about a minute and a half left.
I'm just starting to do the beer, so I'm not going to say beer. I'm going to say food. Get the funky grits, shrimp and grits, fritters, $7 at the food building. Right across from there is an El Pastor taco that will make you feel like you're walking the streets of Mexico City. Tangy, spicy, good, on amazing tortilla from Manny's Tortas. It's $5.
Manny's Tortas is amazing.
Awesome. So good. And what else are we going to do for the top three? Let's talk about the dilly dog that I'm going to go feed these guys.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. And that's,
is that where we're going now?
We're going next. Yeah. That's it.
And I believe we're gonna pair that with the four scene screamer. I believe we all decided, right?
Perfect pairing.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us here on the Minnesota Beercast. Thanks to Joy. Thanks to Bill. Thanks to Ben. Thanks to Glenn. Thanks to you guys for listening. We'll see you again next week. Maybe for the fair, maybe not. You never know where we're gonna be. So until next time, see ya.
More to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.